And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope everything is going well for all of you, that you are keeping this situation that we are in perspective and not allowing anything to steal the joy of the Lord and steal your peace and steal your strength. Because after all, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So I trust that you are taking all of this in, learning the lessons. I think there are important lessons to be learned from it, but not allowing it to drive you into a state of hysteria and fear and folks, I've never seen the spirit of fear grip the entire globe the way we're seeing right now. It is an amazing thing to witness. And frankly, I think the level of fear is more historic than even the damage that the virus itself has done, because I think the level of fear is what has driven the shutdown of our economy. Because right now, and of course, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. I believe that we're going to see after Resurrection Sunday, as I've been praying, and I trust you all have been joining with me. So Lord, show yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to you, and demonstrate that you are still on the throne as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let this coronavirus be cast into the abyss from whence it came, never to rise and trouble us again. So I expect to see a significant downturn right after Resurrection Sunday. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm believing for. That's my faith. I'm holding fast to it. Right now, it appears that the president's predictions that everybody ought to go back to church on Resurrection Sunday, and that, you know, we expected this to be dealt with right after Resurrection Sunday, or at least to begin to turn down. I think that his prediction is going to prove to be accurate. And I think that the fear-mongering that came after that, that caused him to extend it to April 30th, I think is going to prove to have been wrong. As you all noticed, they're ratcheting the numbers down. It seems every day the numbers get lower. The number of deaths, the number of hospitalizations, the number of infections continues to slow. And we're not nearly where we were supposed to be on any of the data that I shared with you all a few days ago. I mean, we're 5 to 10 times less than what was being predicted. So I just hope that everybody, including particularly these governors and mayors who have taken it upon themselves to be little Joseph Stalins, that they will ratchet back and realize, whoa, wait a minute, I think I may have stepped over the bounds of the Constitution here, and maybe I need to just step back here a little bit. Our governor here in Virginia, you all will be interested to know, has taken it upon himself to change the date of the Republican primary from January 9th to the day before the he ends the shutdown, which is the 10th, to the end of June. And I would be remiss not to point out that it is Republican candidates who are going to suffer as a result of this, because the incumbents, as you all know, have a tremendous advantage. And the incumbents are trying to get known. They're trying to get their name recognition up. They're trying to connect with people and get people excited about their candidacies. Well, very, very hard for them to do any of that because they're basically relegated to social media alone. That's the only thing they can really do. And I think this governor is reveling in it. I really do. I think he's reveling in it. I think he sees himself as having an opportunity to solidify the leftist hold on Virginia by crippling the Republican candidates for as long as he can. And he's the only governor in the country who has extended out this so-called lockdown for almost 3 months, folks. Almost 3 months. Nobody has done anything like that or close to that. So, I made a list this morning of all the crazy stuff that is being promoted and used, all the crazy stuff that this virus is being used to promote, and ways in which this virus is being exploited by leftist politicians and policy thinkers who desperately want all the power that it has the ability to cede to them. And of course, we've actually heard them say it explicitly. I mean, Jim Clyburn said, yeah, this is an opportunity to put in place restrictions in keeping with our vision. Well, what does that mean, restrictions? You want to lock everybody down forever? And of course, we heard Gavin Newsom talk about he has the capacity to establish martial law. Some congressman, I don't know exactly who it was who said this, said, you know, how often are we going to have an opportunity to pass a trillion-dollar spending package? Like their mouth is just watering at the level of dependence. And, you know, I was talking to a friend about this, I think it was earlier today. And we were commiserating on this idea that, you know, the left loves governmental dependence. They love having people dependent upon the government because, of course, they can then turn those people into vassals of the state. And those people are then they're wards and they can control them. And if you want to keep whatever benefits you're getting from the government in place, then you better vote for the people who gave you those benefits. And this, they think, just puts them in the catbird seat. And you know, folks, really, maybe in degree there's a difference, but in kind, there's really no difference between them and the communist totalitarian leaders who control China or Fidel Castro or Pol Pot or Ho Chi Minh or Joseph Stalin or Vladimir Lenin. There's really no difference between or Maduro down in Venezuela. There's really no difference in substance, maybe in degree, because they don't have the governmental power to impose the kind of control over us, at least not until this virus popped up, and then they decided this may be a great opportunity to see what it feels like to be dictator for a time. But in substance, it's the same mindset. I'm reading a book on China now, and it's talking about the Chinese penchant for controlling its citizens and the lengths to which they go to make sure that they're under control. You and I are familiar with the Tiananmen Square incident in which they mowed down thousands of Chinese to make sure that everybody understands you dare rise up and disagree with the Chinese communist totalitarian system, we will kill you, period. There's not any, you know, ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. That's why I say in degree, it is different because these leftist politicians in America don't have the ability to kill us, thank God. But in terms of punishing you, in terms of trying to vilify you, to marginalize you, to destroy you, it's here again, it's substance. It's really the same spirit. It's the same mindset. And communist Chinese Wuhan virus has just offered them an opportunity to really test their dictatorial bona fides. Who wants to be a dictator? And all the leftists seem to be standing up and saying, I do. Have you all heard that Ezekiel Emanuel, Rahm Emanuel's brother, who said never let a good crisis go to waste, thinks that we ought to be locked down for another 18 months? 18 months, folks. Bill Gates thinks that we can't get back to normal until the fall of 2021. Yeah, Bill Gates, who wants to implant chips in everybody. You know, he wants to give everybody a digital tattoo so he can track us all. Yeah, he thinks that we need to be locked down. We can't get back to normal until November of 2021. Folks, there's no other way to describe it except these people seem to have lost their minds. They really have. But stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The term anti-Semitism has been loosely thrown around for years and used recently to label the president, even though he has Jewish people in his extended family. It's about time to give specificity to a real problem that has often been redefined and demeaned by misuse. At the core of anti-Semitic thought is that Jews are the source of many social problems, and thus Jews are guilty of everything. This is what's so crazy about this false belief. Supposedly, Jews are the reasons for problems in commerce and our culture. Arab countries have 40 times the population of Israel and occupy land area that is 500 times greater. Yet it is Israel that is the problem and must be pushed into the sea. And the United Nations routinely passes resolutions condemning Israel while ignoring significant human rights abuses in other countries. The murderer who rushed into the Pittsburgh synagogue and killed 11 Jews certainly believed that Jews were the problem and needed to be killed. If you read some of his Gab posts, you will be horrified by his anti-Semitic words and images. Dennis Prager reminds us that Jews understand this hatred. On Passover, they read from a Jewish prayer book these words, "In every generation they arise to annihilate us." Notice it doesn't say persecute us or even enslave us. Anti-Semites want to kill all Jews and eliminate them from the planet. This level of hatred isn't just irrational, it's demonic. It's about the only explanation you can have for people possessed by a level of hatred that makes no sense. Jews number 18 million in a world population of 7.5 billion. Israel occupies a landmass no bigger than New Jersey, yet Jews are the problem and Israel is the problem. This only makes sense when viewed through the lens of spiritual warfare. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, we took the spices that we'd prepared and we went into the tomb. We found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When we went in, we didn't find the body of our Lord Jesus.
Who took him? Where is he?
Who took him?
Why do you look for the living among the dead?
Where's Jesus?
He's not here. He has risen.
Jesus was alive. He's alive.
Jesus was betrayed, abandoned, mocked, beaten, and then crucified on a cross for sinners like you and me. The Son of God was buried, and after 3 days, he rose from that grave. American Family Radio encourages you to rejoice in the glorious reality that our God is a living God.
Brian Fisher here. The free ride the World Health Organization has enjoyed is over. Some leaders are ridiculously blaming global warming for the coronavirus. Grammarly will flag you for bias if you call it the Chinese virus. Congress is going to pass another gargantuan spending bill without a vote. And with Sanders gone, Democrats plot to dump Joe Biden. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back, and folks, I want to start taking your calls if I can during this segment. If not, as soon as we come up to the next segment, you all know the number. It's 888. Well, I hope I have some new listeners who might not know the number, so let me give it to you. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You know, one of the things that's now coming out, and I'm not patting myself on the back because I'm sure other people knew it as well, but I've been talking about this, and we on this network, some of the other hosts have been talking about this now for probably a couple of weeks, that the numbers of deaths that we're looking at are not accurate because they have not distinguished between those who die with the coronavirus and those who die from the coronavirus. And that, in other words, people with what they call comorbidities or serious underlying preconditions are dying from those underlying preconditions, perhaps death accelerated by the fact that their immune system had another stressor on it, but nevertheless, they didn't die from the coronavirus per se, but they died from the underlying condition, but no distinctions being made. Everybody who dies with the coronavirus is counted as a coronavirus death, which means that the numbers that we're looking at are not accurate. They're just not accurate. Now, apparently, a lot of the numbers we've been looking at have not been accurate, and that's a major problem. You know, it feeds into this idea, which I think by now is pretty much established, that these numbers were overblown, and apparently for some at least, with the purpose of manipulating and controlling the American people and getting the American people to submit to pretty much anything that anybody came along with, because we're so afraid that this thing is going to kill us or kill our loved ones, that we didn't stop to ask hard questions about the impact on the economy or the constitutionality of some of these so-called orders that are coming down. And look, I have no doubt, folks, these things are always complicated. And there are some people, I'm sure, who are well-meaning and are simply trying to do what they know to do. As one article I read in Breitbart suggested, though, the problem is that medical experts who have been giving us this information are one-dimensional in their thinking. They only think this is a disease, we must stop it, and let's do whatever we need to do to stop it. So they don't consider the other ramifications that can be equally devastating to our body, to our body politic, to the human beings that populate this country. And that those things need to be taken into consideration too. The ability of people to work, to earn a living, the ability of people to move about freely and experience the inherent freedom that we believe every American, every human being has as a gift from Almighty God. So those things are not being considered by these experts. All they're considering is, quote unquote, the science. But as I've said before, you know, this is not just science. This is really policy masquerading as science. The science says this, and therefore, well, now we're finding out that even the science, so-called, is not necessarily accurate, not necessarily believable. And here again, folks, I am not in any way saying that this is not a real disease. Clearly, it is. And I'm not in any way saying that we should not follow CDC recommendations, you know, do social distancing. There's been some debate about whether to cover your face or not, and you know, at first I heard Dr. Fauci saying that, you know, people who cover their faces may think that they don't have to do social distancing, but you still do. And that's my concern about the mask being worn. But apparently wearing the mask is okay. So here again, we've gotten some mixed signals on that. But whatever you feel comfortable with, just do what you think you need to do in order to keep yourself and your family safe. And I think that that's appropriate. What I have a problem with is the degree to which this is being used as an opportunity to basically turn us into a command society. A command society. So let me give you my list of things, not necessarily in this order and not necessarily in order of importance. But these are all the things that I've seen being done, and it's really quite a list. In the name of the coronavirus, which I think have nothing to do with the coronavirus, instituting martial law, locking down the economy, as Ezekiel, Emmanuel, and Bill Gates have suggested, up until the fall of 2021, which would, folks, we'd have a depression. We'd have a depression. But it would certainly turn everybody into dependence on the government, wouldn't it? Paying illegal aliens, that Ocasio-Cortez and apparently a bunch of Democrats support the fact that illegal aliens ought to get money, when every study shows that illegal aliens are beneficiaries of our social service largesse, that we do not benefit from illegal aliens in terms of enriching our country, that they benefit from the taxpayers. So they should not be getting checks. But there are some saying we ought to do that. Bill Gates, we talked about putting chips in everybody, closing churches and synagogues. And I noticed they haven't really talked about closing mosques. Of course, that's because there's a certain ethic among some in the Islamic community that would suggest if you mess with them, you might get retaliation. We Christians are going to pray for people. But some, not all folks, I'm not saying all, but some of these Muslims will quickly resort to violence. So notice we haven't heard much about closing. I haven't heard anything, frankly, about closing mosques. Close gun stores, close gun ranges, keep abortion clinics open. It's an essential service. Release convicted felons. We need to do that to help keep everybody safe and help keep the prisoners safe, and even including some murderers and some sexual predators have been released under that excuse. investigate the president because he's not handling this properly. Give money to Planned Parenthood because they need support at a time like this. Allow universal vote by mail. Talk about cheating and destroying the integrity of the election. But here again, coronavirus opens the door to everything. Cancel elections. The governor of Virginia just canceled the June 9th primary. What makes him think he has authority to cancel a Republican primary? And I know he's doing it only for political reasons. It has nothing to do with healthcare. That's June the 9th. You mean to tell me we can't manage that, please? Establish curfews. Everybody in by 8 o'clock. Everybody in by 9 o'clock. How does that help? How does that help? If you're out and about and you're by yourself, you're practicing social distancing, whose business is it what time you go home? Threats of arrests and fine and imprisonment for disobeying these arguably what I believe to be unlawful orders. And we need to impeach the president for pushing hydroxychloroquine. We need to impeach the president. Oh, and by the way, did you hear this one, folks? The Bush family, in their great compassion and largesse, are shipping masks to China. Now, first of all, do they really think that the Chinese people are going to get the mask? You know who's going to get the mask if they need it? Members of the Chinese Communist Party. There's at least 65 million of Chinese Communist Party members who keep the rest of the population there under control, 65 million of them, maybe more than that, but at least 65 million. Those are the people who get the masks. Because Xi Jinping and his little communist cabal could care less about what happens to the people. Folks, I don't know whether you're familiar with or remember this history, but you know, when we were in really tense confrontations with Communist China, Mao Zedong, over Taiwan, and Mao Zedong was threatening actually invading Taiwan, and we were giving him a variety of warnings. This happened under more than one administration, but Clinton administration was the last one, I think. And there were people talking about the possible threat of using tactical nuclear weapons against Communist China, and Mao Zedong was heard to say, "We can lose 300 million people and still be fine." And that mindset, I believe, persists in China. And we're going to give them masks when apparently we still don't. I don't believe we have enough masks for those who want to wear them here in the United States of America. But so, you know, let's give some applause to the Bush family. And look, folks, I don't hate the Chinese people. But the fact of the matter is they are under a brutal, murderous, dictatorial communist regime. And when you do stuff like that, you're not helping the Chinese people. You're helping the communist regime. But all in the name of coronavirus, or better called the communist Chinese Wuhan virus. Folks, there's a lot of stuff that's being done in the name of this thing that I think we're going to learn in hindsight. We may even learn without hindsight, I think many of us are figuring out now, are completely unjustifiable. Okay, I'll tell you what, folks, I don't have time to come to a call right now, but stand by. As soon as I come out of the break, I'm going to come right to you. The number is 888-589-8840. The lines are filling up. We appreciate that. Want to hear what you all are saying and want to hear how you're doing. You know, how are your families, your communities doing? Are you sensing any ratcheting back? Any sort of, you know, walking back some of these onerous rules that have been imposed by some of these lawless governors and mayors. So just stand by. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
We were on our way home from Nashville. Our car had been giving us some trouble, and it was getting worse. In the middle of a small town, the motor went completely dead. Traffic began to snarl up behind us. We were pulling a trailer that was heavily loaded and going up a hill. I pondered what to do. After a few seconds, I tried the motor again. It started. We decided to hunt a garage. We asked a service station attendant, and he gave us directions to one about a mile down the road from where we were. We headed toward it. As I pulled into the garage and began to tell the foreman our problems, I noticed something which was extremely odd to me. I noticed a man in his early 20s doing manual labor. He was fixing a flat. Now, there's nothing unusual in that. But what caught my attention was this. The young man was quite obviously a victim of muscular dystrophy. It was the first time in my life that I had seen a victim of muscular dystrophy doing manual labor. I just had never thought that anyone with a disease like that would be able to do any manual labor. I was quite anxious to know the reason why the young man was hired to work in the garage. Well, it wasn't long until I got my answer. About 2 years ago, he couldn't do anything, the foreman said. His parents had so protected him that he was slim and underweight and didn't have a muscle in his body. He couldn't even pick up his own shadow. When I hired him, I put him to work. His first day here, I told him to fix a flat. He struggled with that tire for hours. I thought many times he was going to give up, but he stayed with it. I never gave him any special privileges, he continued. I didn't think he wanted any. Slowly, little by little, he got to where he could do any job asked of him. Many people cussed me because of the way I worked him. One lady came in and saw him working hard one day and cussed me for everything I was worth. She called me just about every name in the book. But look at him now. He's as strong as a mule. You know, there's a lesson of life, a very valuable one, in that incident. A young man, handicapped and overprotected, was finally allowed to prove himself. What appeared to be hardness on the part of the foreman turned out to be nothing more than a genuine expression of love. He gave the young man something no one else had given him. He gave him a chance to prove himself. Giving someone everything he wants, protecting him from the hard realities of life, is never a clear expression of love. But accepting a person with his limitations and working with him to overcome those limitations is. When difficulty comes our way, the Creator is giving us an opportunity to prove ourselves. I would rather have that than protection any day.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. And folks, I want to go first to somebody who I think wants to take issue with something I say, and because we believe in the First Amendment on this program. We actually believe in freedom of speech and that people who don't necessarily agree have a right to be heard. I want to go to that call first. So I want to talk to you, Bobby in Oklahoma. Bobby, welcome. Okay, I guess it's Randy, I'm having a little trouble. Can you bring Bobby up for me? Or do I need to? Okay, all right. Sorry about that. I'm going to, I'll tell you what. Well, can you do Chris? Because, yeah, okay, there you go. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hi, Bishop Jackson. I want to thank you so much for everything that you're doing. I you know, especially yesterday, you blowing the lid off of ID 2020 by Bill Gates. And I'm glad that you brought that out, because I had found last week an article on National File about Bill Gates and Dr. Birx and the conflict of interest that they have because of the Bill Gates situation. But I really do want to thank you, Sandy Rios. She jumped in this morning. Of course, Abraham Hamilton, who I think should be the next Attorney General of the United States of America or a Supreme Court Justice. You and Brian Fisher, the guys on Focal Point. And ladies and gentlemen, my day starts at 7 a.m. with Sandy Rios in the morning, and it doesn't end until 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I listen to this. I listen to AFR all day long, because this is where the real news is. And I just wanted to say, Bishop Jackson, the way that Dr. Fauci and the way that Dr. Birx, they contradict themselves all the time. This is nothing more than a sick social experiment. Dr. Birx yesterday, she recounted and said, oh, well, you would have to be within 6 feet of somebody for 15 minutes to contract the virus. It goes on and on and on. And Bishop Jackson, I would just like to say this. The only reason why I think that social distancing has been put in place and is being enforced by law enforcement is so that people cannot gather and go on a march and say enough is enough with this social experiment. I mean, let's be honest. Okay, I'm out here.
Chris, thank you. Listen, Chris, thank you for the call. Wow. First of all, thank you for all those compliments for the network. And I couldn't agree more, particularly about Abraham Hamilton III. He would certainly get my vote for Attorney General for the Supreme Court. Brilliant legal mind. But we do have some great hosts and really appreciate that. And look, you're right. They're all over the place. I mean, first it was don't get within 6 feet of anybody. Even walking by a person in a supermarket aisle is a problem. Then it was, well, no. You just don't stay within 6 feet of a person for 10 minutes. And now it's become 15 minutes. I mean, they're all over the place with this. And that's what every American ought to be taking a look at and asking, well, now, wait a minute. And you're right. Everybody needs to know about this ID 2020 business. Every American needs to know about it because this coronavirus scare is giving Bill Gates an opportunity to implement something that he wants to do. He wants to use for the entire population of the earth. If that doesn't put a chill down your spine, I don't know what does. Let's go to, I'm going to turn it over to you, Randy. Let's go to Larry in Louisiana. Line two. There you go. Larry, welcome.
Yes, sir, me?
Yes, Larry, you're on.
Oh, cool. Say, I appreciate the opportunity of being on. What Chris just said, boy, I do agree with that. What I'm wondering about is China... them trying to replace the U.S. dollar and be dominant in the world, is all this coming from that, you know, all the coronavirus coming from that? Also, one other thing, in the latter part of last year, one of you folks was saying that a whole bunch of corporate executives started retiring and, evidently they cashed in a bunch of their stuff is what I would have done if I was them. So therefore... is that linked up with all this? Did they know ahead of time this was coming? And should they be charged with insider trading? I appreciate you, Brother Jackson. I sure do.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Larry. Well, first of all, let me say on China controlling the dollar, China wants to control the world. It is built into their communist ideology, but by the way, it's also built in. By the way, folks, can I just add something that I've been thinking about the last couple of days? And thank you, Larry. You just gave me the opening to say it. Folks, China had the unmitigated gall to say that pointing out that the coronavirus came from China is racist. Folks, and I am not exaggerating when I say this, please take this to heart. China is probably the most racist regime. The Chinese Communist regime is probably the most racist regime on the face of the earth today because they really believe that the Chinese are superior to all other people, that Chinese culture is superior to all other cultures, and that everybody should be subjugated to China, that the world would be exactly what it's supposed to be when China has hegemony over the entire world. I think it was Confucius, I think, who said, in keeping with Chinese culture, there are you cannot have two suns in the sky. You cannot have two emperors in the world. Basically, that whoever runs China should be running the world. So control of the U.S. dollar, they want control of everything. Let's go to Lee in Virginia. We got time for Lee? Yes. Let's go to Lee in Virginia. Lee, welcome.
Yes, sir. God's blessings on you and your family.
Thank you, sir. You too.
I was listening to TV yesterday, and I want to show you the hypocrisy of some of these people. Governor Cuomo was talking about how this coronavirus attacked the weak and vulnerable. His exact words, the weak
yep.
and vulnerable.
I heard him
society.
Say it.
Well, where was that compassion last year when New York passed this massive abortion bill to kill babies up to the time they're born and even after they're born? Where was the compassion for the weak and vulnerable then? And then he went on and talked about the black and the brown community, how they had been overly affected with this virus. Where was that compassion concerned about the black and the brown community when they put these abortion clinics in these major cities, knowing that's where the black and the brown people live the most? 13% of America's population is black, African-American. 30-some percent of the abortions is of the black community. And finally, 2 years ago, New York City, for whatever devilish reason, put the Hindu god Kali on the Empire State Building and left it on there for days at night for the world to see lit up, and he is the god of death and destruction. These people are not only idiots, but they are hypocrites. They're whited sepulchres full of dead man's bones.
Well, Lee, don't go anywhere. I want you to email me, because we're a little shorthanded right now at our network, and I don't want to put this on my producer to do, but if you email me at ewj@standamerica.us, I want to send you a gift, a free book, one of my books, because, and this is my wife's suggestion, she says, when somebody really blesses you, you ought to send them something. And Lee, you just blessed me, because what you pointed out is the utter hypocrisy, right? When the governor of New York stands up and says, the weak and the vulnerable are the most affected, and yet they rejoiced at creating a law that would say even a child born alive that was an intended abortion can be allowed to die. It doesn't get more weak and vulnerable than that. And you're right, it affects the black communities, the minority communities, in a far greater way than it does other communities in our country. And you would think, if you're concerned about discrimination or you're concerned about the vulnerability of a population, what about that? So they've got a big blind spot. So Lee, you really blessed me. So if you can email me at ewj@standamerica.us, just say, call it to the program. We'll get a gift out to you, because, man, I really appreciated you drawing that connection, because it's perfect. It was brilliant. So thank you for the call, Lee. Folks, just stand by. We're going to come right back to the calls. The number is 888-589-8840. You all have heard, I'm sure, that Ilhan Omar, one of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, is complaining that illegal immigrants are not getting checks. Why does she go back to Somalia? Back in a moment.
Really look for teachable moments when kids are asking questions. They are concerned. This is not something that they're used to. They often are worried.
Trisha Goyer on Focus on the Family Minute.
They'll see someone in our neighborhood walking their dog. Mom, they don't have a mask on. It's like, it's yeah. okay. They're just walking their dog. I mean, take this time to really think about how you can help your child and just speak to their hearts during this time. Kids might act out. I think sometimes even with my kids, I could just see, okay, they're really acting out today, but I think it's because they're anxious. They're anxious because they saw that news report or they heard something. And so sitting down and say, what's going on in your heart and how can we deal with that? And how is God here for us now? And think about how he's helped different people in the Bible.
More encouragement from Trisha Goyer at FamilyMinute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Oh, Lord, please let me make it. Please, Lord. Come on, come on!
American Family Association,
man,
or American Family Radio.
I missed the show again.
Can't find the time to catch the live shows? No worries.
Wait, what?
You can listen and download all your favorite shows for free.
For free?
That's right, for free. Just visit the podcast page on AFR.net.
Ooh, Lord.
AFR.net.
The Word of God tells us many times in one way or another, fear not. Today in the world, many are very fearful, afraid of the coronavirus and other perils that are going on in our world. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 tells us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust." I'm Joseph Parker, and we here at the American Family Association would like to remind you, fear not, put your trust in the Lord. We'd like to both encourage and challenge you to aggressively put your faith to work. Certainly use wisdom and insight that government and medical professionals are encouraging, but first, put your trust in the Lord. We'd like to encourage you to pray Psalm 91 daily for yourself and your family and keep your trust in Him. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer for yourself, email us here at psalm91@afa.net.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
By the way, let me say to all of my listeners, we have been having services at my church, and we're going to continue to do so. Now, we are practicing social distancing. You all know my position. My position is that a governor does not have authority to tell us we can't have church. He simply doesn't have that authority. We have a First Amendment right, and we have an inherent God-given right to do that. And we're trying to do that in keeping with our own consciences and trying to practice the safety measures needed during this time. But as far as following orders from a governor, which are, in my view, in complete violation of the Constitution of the United States, we're not doing it. My church is not doing it. And I've encouraged my members, if you want to come, come. But of course, if you have a fever, if you have any reason to think you might have been exposed, then you should stay home. You should self-quarantine. You should go get tested. But if you've not been exposed, you have no reason to think you've been exposed, you're going to come practice social distancing, we'll be just fine. And we have been. I haven't had a single report from any member of our church that they have contracted it, or any at least member of their immediate family. I've heard people talk about relatives in New York and that kind of thing that have contracted it. But nobody around us has. And I just don't think we should be surrendering our constitutional liberties because somebody tells us if we don't, in effect, we're going to die. The way I read American history is that our founding fathers put their lives on the line to secure the liberty that we now enjoy. And I don't think we ought to surrender it simply because somebody tells us we have to, according to their own dictates. It's going to take a lot more than that, folks. So we're doing that peacefully. We're doing it respectfully. And we're doing it with consideration of others. But we're simply not surrendering our constitutional liberties based on some bogus order by some governor who thinks he's got the right to order citizens as to what they can and cannot do. He just doesn't have that ability. He doesn't have that right. He doesn't have that power. Okay, we finally got Bobby back. Bobby, we could not get you. Had a little technical problem with your call, but you're on.
Okay, I want to preface this by saying I have a friend with diabetes who's been diagnosed with COVID-19, and it's a real concern to us because diabetes, of course, and obesity are the people that die. That's primarily the underlying conditions. That's the majority of those who've died from this.
Okay.
But my point is that I wanted to make is COVID-19 is a threat to those with underlying conditions. Those underlying conditions may, if you filled out the death certificate properly, one of those conditions may be listed as the actual cause of death. But down the line, you also can write on that death certificate that COVID ID was there. It is still a threat to the health and well-being of those who are already sick with something else. So
right.
that it deserves to be noted, and we should regard it as a threat to them, whatever the primary cause of death is.
Yeah, right. I don't disagree with noting it. I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, if it's accurate information, certainly it should be put there. What I'm concerned about, though, Bobby, is the degree to which we're learning now that a lot of these numbers have been inflated, and the death rate may well be inflated if we're looking at death rates based upon people who happen to have the coronavirus, but they're really dying from an underlying condition, have the coronavirus when we die.
But so. It was complicated. It's what's complicated their condition. Well, it is a contributing factor, and it should be noted on the death certificate, and we, as the public, should know about that.
Bobby, let me disagree with you there in this sense. We're not being told that it's a complicating factor that contributes to the death. We're being told that if a person has it when they die, then the death is attributed to the coronavirus. And that's an entirely different situation. In other words, a person may have an underlying condition that kills them. If they happen to have the virus when they die, the virus may or may not have contributed to that death. You see, but they happen to have it when they die, and now we're told that that's a coronavirus death. I think I have a problem with that. But Bobby, listen, thanks for the call. I appreciate your patience, too. Let's go to Mary in South Carolina. Mary, welcome. Oops. Okay. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
There you go. Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, I have a couple of things, but I'm going to make it brief. We'll talk about the petty potentates coming out of the walls, from mayors up to governors and so and so. Not that all of them are that. Many are really concerned and doing good things, but there are many that are just outlandish. But I wanted to specifically ask you to address the church. I'm proud that you are keeping your church open and that, you know, you're practicing the guidelines. I think God is watching. Faith. He's testing our faith. Wisdom, and we're to submit. But there is a law higher than Caesar.
The Amen.
Scripture I wanted to mention, and so you can speak on this, it may be a little bit out of context, or James 5:14. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now I know that we have had to, some churches are forsaken this assembly, I understand all that, and I'm not pointing fingers or anything. In fact, my own small rural church has not met for 2 weeks. But I haven't heard anyone mention this scripture. I think that if someone called, we need to be there to pray for them, to lay hands on them, anointing the oil, proper according to God's word. Your
Amen.
Thoughts on that?
Amen. Mary, I could not agree with you more. And you know, it's funny. And thank you, Mary. You bless me too. I got to send you something to Mary. Mary, email me at ewj@standamerica.us. I gotta send you something because you bless me too. I was thinking about this the other day. So if we feel that we've got to obey these quote unquote orders, what if somebody is sick with it? Are you as a Christian going to the hospital to pray for them? Or does fear keep you away? Of course, then you may be in a situation where they wouldn't allow you to go see them. But, you know, if we really believe that the power of God heals people and that the scripture you just read, Mary, is real, that power is real and available, then we're not intimidated by the fact that someone has it. We go pray for them, get them healed and remain perfectly well and healthy. You know, leprosy was contagious, folks. And did you ever see, you ever read where Jesus would lay his hands on the lepers? I can see somebody right. Wait a minute, Jesus, don't touch them, Lord. No. You might get the leprosy. You know. But Jesus was not in the least bit intimidated by leprosy, which frankly, folks, is far worse even than the coronavirus. He wasn't the least bit and there was no treatment. And he wasn't the least bit concerned about it. And so I think that's the attitude that we've got to get in our hearts too, that the God we serve is bigger than the coronavirus. So, Mary, thank you so much for the call. Email me at ewj@standamerica.us. Let's go to, is it, Dwayne or Duana in Arkansas? I may have your name wrong. Let me, is it Duana? Let me stop asking. You tell me what your name is. You're on. Hello?
Are you talking to somebody in Arkansas?
Yes, ma'am. And it's spelled Duana, and I wasn't sure whether it was Duana or Oh, okay. It is Duana.
My dad's middle name is Dwayne.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, Duana. Jackson. Well, I did have it right. I just wasn't sure. Okay. Good to have you on.
Well, I wanted to say, Brother Jackson, you are such a blessing. I found you by accident one day whenever my work schedule was changed, and I got a lunchtime at a different time, and now my work schedule's changed every day, so I can listen every day. But you are a real blessing. And I wanted to ask, when I got my driver's license renewed, I did that Real ID 2020 on my driver's license. I think that's what it's called, because I was thinking, well, maybe they'll use that for voting and, you know, stop some of the stuff. And I, you know, instead of a passport, and it wasn't on my body or anything like that. So how is that like a gateway, or is it to that, you know, thing they're talking about now? And also, you know, I have a mark on my arm because I'm old enough from when I was vaccinated, you know, I mean, I don't know how, can you explain the difference in that and the thing they're talking about now?
You know, Duana, that is a great question. I've got that special ID. Folks, just in case you're not familiar with what we're talking about, there's a special ID that you've got to get, and you have to have it by the end of September, I believe, of this year, in order to fly. If you have one of the old type IDs, you can't use that license to fly. You'll need a passport to fly, even domestically. So I don't know whether it's called, I know it's called Real ID. I don't know whether it's related to ID 2020 or not, Duana, but I will look into that. I think this is really more of a national security matter. And I distinguish between something that's part of a document that you carry, a license, for example, than something that's actually implanted in your body. So that I have a problem with that. Okay, but thank you for the call, Duana. Let's go to Ann in Arkansas. Ann, welcome.
Hi, I'll be fast. I wanted to know if you've heard anything about 5G going in, and this may be, a lot of people know that it causes radiation, and they think it's dangerous, and so I've heard talk of them putting it into schools, and of course there's no kids in school right now. Have you heard anything about that, or any of your listeners?
Ann, I have heard about it. I'll tell you, I have not studied the issue. A lot of times it takes some time for these things to percolate. And thank you for the call, though, Ann, because I think that's an issue. It's like electromagnetic pulse. It takes a while for people to figure out that this is a real thing that could become very, very important to us, and we have to start considering it and looking at it. So I'm familiar with it, and folks, here again, it has to do with what 5G, we wouldn't call it broadcasting, but transmissions through our cell phone devices and other things, the impact that could have on us. I don't know whether that's going to another thing that they're going to use the coronavirus to sort of advance. You just never know. But we're going to keep our eyes open for you, and we'll look at all of these issues that you all are raising, and thank you for raising them. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. Happy Good Friday, everybody. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.